Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for bringing us together, for your holy word so capably read to us today, and for the opportunity we have to be moved by those words as we gather in your name. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The distinguished child psychiatrist Robert Coles tells of a wonderful story of a little black girl who was responsible for his conversion. It's a moving story. He writes, as he tells this story, that he went to Biloxi, Mississippi. Anybody been to Biloxi? Went to Biloxi, Mississippi in the 1950s to help black children living through the trauma of trying to be part of an integrated school system. It was an awesome experience, he said, and little Ruby was the first black child to help desegregate her public school in Biloxi. Every day, Ruby would go to school guarded by federal marshals who escorted her through angry mobs of protesters and angry mobs of people who were set on destroying all that was taking place in that particular school system. Needless to say, Dr. Coles was very, very concerned about little Ruby and the long-term effect that this would have on her life. She was just a child after all. How is this going to affect her? All those protest signs, all those epithets, all those experiences, as she tried just to go to school, how would she deal with it? As a psychiatrist, he knew that Ruby must be having some anxious moments. And so every day he would interview her. He would just sort of talk to her in passing to see how things are going. Ruby, how are you sleeping? I'm sleeping just fine, she'd say. Sleeping just fine. Well, and another day went by and he posed another question to her. Ruby, I bet you aren't eating well, are you? No, sir. I'm eating just fine. Yeah, I enjoy every meal. Well, every day he'd ask one question or another. And the only answer he received was just the same one. I'm just fine, Dr. Coles. I'm just fine. This was so perplexing to Dr. Coles that one day he heard Ruby's teacher say that she had noticed that Ruby was talking to herself when she walked through the signs and the protests and the angry mob. Do you talk to yourself much? I do. Sometimes I'm the only person who will listen. The teacher said, well, she's just talking to herself. Well, he was interested in what she was talking about. Why was she talking to herself? So he asked little Ruby, What in the world were you saying in those moments? What were you talking about? What were you saying to yourself? And she looked up and said, Dr. Coles, I just say one very simple thing. I just say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Wow. From a little child, we learn so much. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Nearly 20 centuries after these cross-shaped words were uttered in agony by Jesus, we still hear those words echo in the church and in our minds and in our hearts. Words a little girl grasps beyond human understanding. Father, forgive them. I don't know. Perhaps it was little Ruby's courage. Perhaps it was her confidence. Perhaps it was her trust in Christ. Perhaps it was Ruby's loving forgiveness that would lead Dr. Coles to Christ and enable him to sing, oh, you know the song, a wonderful song written by Elizabeth Clefane, upon the cross of Jesus. Mine eyes at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears, two wonders I confess, the wonders of redeeming love and my unworthiness. And Dr. Coles found Jesus Christ. Once upon a time, the Christian church was young and green and struggling. Once upon a time, it was like a small tree in the process of growth. Once upon a time, early Christians were befuddled by all kind of conflicts. They wondered if the road they traveled was just too hard. Was the future going to be too difficult? Were the struggles going to be too great? Was it going to be just too demanding? Once upon a time, the world was dominated by Roman power, imperial power. Caesar was more than the emperor. He was God, and expected people to worship him. Culture twisted the people. Jews and followers of Jesus were in debate. There were ethical problems aplenty. A new community of faith was in the process of identifying its goal and shaping its way into the future. Early believers were hungry for help, how they might create and sustain a real community. Give us some secrets. Give us some guidelines. Give us some direction so we know what to hold on to. What was it that would move the church through all of the growing pains once upon a time when the church was young? And what is it today that will give Christians a guide, a path to the future? Something that will strike us more than anything else from Christ our Lord. Something that will demand more than we can perhaps even comprehend. But a key that evidently guided that early church and so must guide the church today as it looks toward the future. Matthew gives us an answer in today's scripture lesson. Here we find Simon Peter in conversation with Jesus. From the beginning, Peter was a dominant personality among Jesus' disciples. I think he was cool. I mean, he was bullheaded. He was a spokesperson, and he was strong, and he was tough to deal with, and he demonstrated all kinds of strengths and all kinds of weaknesses. He was just like you, just like me, and that's why we like him. I mean, he not only succeeded, he failed miserably. And Jesus still loved him. Oh, thanks be to God, or I wouldn't be here today. Simon Peter, a dominant personality in that new, young church. And Peter already had heard Jesus' words, the words that were printed before the lesson today. He heard those words. Jesus spoke about those who would be greatest in the kingdom. Become like a child, he said to Simon. Become like a child. Don't put a stumbling block on the little ones. Help one another. Be a shepherd. Be like a shepherd who went out after one lost sheep. And when that shepherd found the sheep, he rejoiced. Be like that shepherd. And if someone sins against you, do something about it. Go get reconciled. Get together. Oh, Peter goes, you must be kidding. What do you mean get reconciled and get together? I imagine Peter thought about all those he had bumped heads with over the years and remembered the faces of those who despised him. What do you mean, get reconciled? And this is the background for today's text. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said, not 7 times, I tell you, 70 times 7. What's that again? 70 times 7. Come on, Lord, the rabbi said 3 times is enough. 3 times is enough. I mean, once is okay, but man, I'm going to go to the second and third mile. 3 times is enough. I mean, what if somebody offends me, trips me up, makes me lose my job, cheats and lies, makes my life miserable? What do you want me to do about it? 7 times is more reasonable. It's even more than the 3. Doesn't that make sense, Lord? It all becomes very quiet. And we wait for the Master to speak. And while we wait for the Master to speak, Simon Peter takes out his crank calculator. They didn't have electricity in those days. And he begins to multiply 70 times 7. Lord, that's 490 times. Are you sure you want me to do that? And Matthew put the story and the accompanying parable in his gospel account to help a very troubled young church by saying, this is the only way you are going to survive in the world in which you live, and that is 70 times 7. It's 490 plus. If you're looking for an easy way out, find another religion. 490 plus. You forgive every time. What's that again? You forgive every time. We can almost hear Jesus say, put away the calculator. This isn't about math. It's not about keeping score. Forgiveness is an attitude. It's a way of life. It's a matter of the heart. It's the very, very character of God. The same God who says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. God, can you really mean that? Absolutely. And we were taught, our Lord taught us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The question is, do we really mean that, or is it just a lot of words? We really forgive others, no matter what they've done to us. This is a difficult job, I have to admit. It's difficult. It was difficult for the early church. It's difficult for us today as the body of Christ. Because we like to skirt the issue, I think, a certain period of time. Who is it in your life you cannot forgive? Who is it that hurt you so bad that you can't forgive them? Jesus, you just don't understand. You just don't understand. And we hear the words coming to us in all directions. He betrayed everything we had together. He betrayed everything when he cheated on me. He destroyed the family. He made me look like a fool. 70 times 7. She broke my heart. I don't know how else to say it. She broke my heart. She used me to get her education and then get her job, and then she left the kids in me. She just walked out on me. And we're all alone and we're all in pain, and it's just as if the kids and I have to start all over again. 70 times 7. The meeting was terrible. It was probably one of the worst meetings I've ever had to attend in my life. Oh, he was furious. He was so angry and red-faced, saying the ugliest things about me, cutting me down in every way possible, and I had to stand there and take it 70 times 7. It was my brand new bike. I just got it for my birthday. I don't know why in the world he thought he could take my bike without ever even asking me. I took it out and ran it right into the fence and destroyed the whole front end of it. 70 times 7. He lied through his teeth. I lost my promotion. I lost my future. I don't know if I'll ever recover. I don't know if my family will ever recover. I don't know what to do. 70 times 7. She called me a non-Christian behind my back, ridiculed my beliefs, tried to turn my friends away from me, said all kinds of nasty things about me. Oh, the gossip was awful. What am I going to do about it? 70 times 7. He abused me for years, and I still carry the scars of mental and physical abuse. I don't know if I can go on or not. It haunts me. 70 times 7. Mother took her own life after he forced her to leave the community and her church and her family and friends and move south for retirement. He knew she wasn't well when he did that. 70 times 7. The story goes that when the Civil War ended, a group of people gathered outside the White House. It was a great day of acclamation and a great day of celebration. President Lincoln came out to say just a few words. I mean, it was just one of those great experiences in the time of the country. It was a time when everyone was in a spirit of joy and happiness. The band was there for the celebration. The president spoke briefly about the horrors of war. The people were happy because they had lingered, endured that war for 4 years. Lincoln talked about how important it was to get back together, to heal the nation's wounds, to let brothers and sisters come together again. Since this was such a wonderful, wonderful occasion, the president said, "I want the band to play. The band to play." I mean, it's that kind of an occasion. Why? Because it gave them an opportunity to sing the theme song of the Civil War, the battle hymn of the Republic. And they waited as the band prepared to play. The people waited in anticipation as the president walked over and talked briefly with the conductor. After a long pause and a time of shuffling of the music and the instruments, the band began to play. Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times, they are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. The people began to sing. There was not a dry eye in the crowd. You see, when we forgive, we play music we never thought we could play. And we sing songs that we never thought we could sing. Forgiveness is one of the essential ingredients of who we are as the body of Christ. 70 times 7. 490. Always unfinished business. And Simon Peter and the early church and you and I learned it at the foot of a cross 20 centuries ago. Amen.